Every single day, people take unwanted or unused items to thrift and antique stores across the country. But as the saying goes, one man's trash is another man's treasure, and we're here to prove it. Identify valuable things before you throw them away. Join us as we show and tell of treasures found and sold by a full-time reseller with the hopes of helping you find some treasures of your own. Welcome to the What's Sold podcast.
Welcome back to the What's Sold podcast. Again, my name is Brandon. I'm here with my friend Matt, also known as Rusty the Reseller. Probably has a lot of other gnome de plumes or aliases. We did determine that he most likely is the James Bond of, we're not going to call him resellers. We're going to call him secondary market or aftermarket merchants. So if you see Matt at a Baccarat table someday in a tuxedo, don't be surprised. That's just how he rolls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be in a dimly lit area, rolling the dice.
Big cigar.
Whatever. Smoking a hookah with a... Makes me think of Turkey. I was in Turkey one time doing exactly that, except it was... What was it? Oh, I can't think of the game. What's a little...
Dominoes?
Oh, man, a backgammon.
Backgammon. Yeah, that's a very Arab
doing
game.
Some really... Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. So, yeah, I don't have to... I mean, I do have... I just move on. If there's trouble in an area, I don't have to have different names. I'm transient. I move to a completely different area.
Just move. You move. You just stay one step ahead of Johnny Law. I love it. Head to Turkey, do whatever you need to do.
That's right. That's what you got to do.
All right, Matt, what are we talking about today on the show?
I'm going to show you one thing that's sold. We'll talk about that briefly. And then actually today's episode is going to be about three types of items that if you are doing this part-time or just getting started, these are items that you can find most places and you can, and they're very low entry to get in as far as cost, very cheap, but that you can make money on all the time. So if you don't have a lot of money to spend and you want to and find something that's probably available in your area, I'm going to give you some ideas on that.
Sounds good.
So first thing today is I've got this kind of sealed up in like a piece of plastic, but what it is, it's a lot as in a group of stamps. And what happened here was I bought a very large, maybe 150 pounds of stamps in a lot at at an estate sale. And it was all kinds. It was foreign stamps. It was U.S. stamps. The ones that sold in this particular lot, they were probably 25 different stamps, maybe a few more. These are called postage due stamps. And so some of these are like anywhere from a dollar to 5 cents, 2 cents, 3 cents, 50 cents, various types. These are all from between the 1920s and the 1950s, various ones. They've been stuck on. Most of them have been hinged onto a page. This page would have come from a stamp collecting book that has little sections, and it has a black and white image of the stamp itself. And then you find that stamp, you hinge it on there, and this is your collection. Stamp collecting, big thing, big collecting thing in history, not nearly as popular today as it once was. There definitely are still pretty serious avid stamp collectors out there. And that just kind of goes to, like, this sold, goes to show there are people out still buying these. It didn't sell for much. It sold for $14. But you have to understand that this is like 25 stamps. Maybe a million stamps, maybe more than that, are what came in this lot. Mm. I mean, I have a bin back behind me. In fact, I'm going to slide right back here. I'm going to grab this and just show you. This entire bin, I put this today in this clear plastic bin. Do you see this? This thing is entirely full of stamps. Just entirely full. Mm. Hundreds of thousands of stamps in here. American stamps, foreign stamps, old stamps, newer stamps. Some are unused, uncanceled. Some have hinges on them. Some have been stuck on paper. But the point is, someone was like a madman. What do you need a huge bin full of stamps like this for? They were collectors. Probably bought them from multiple other collectors, took out the ones that they wanted to put in their books, maybe, you know, sold some of them. And so that's the deal. So what I have to do is I have to go through and sort and figure out which of these have value, which of these are worth trashing, which of these do I sell for, here's 5 pounds of random stamps. So there are stamp collectors, there are people who want them. It's like anything, condition, rarity. Those kinds of things are important.
Right.
But there are also people who do craft work with it. In fact, some of these I might keep to do an art piece. I'm thinking about doing almost like a collage picture out of stamps. So I would need to sort colors, essentially. out first, and then it's like pointillism, or it's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're just kind of, it'll be a large piece, but it'll entirely be made out of stamps. So it's like, why not?
Can you imagine you do that, Matt, and you create this beautiful art piece, and it goes into some sort of museum somewhere, and some avid, what are they, there was a name for not phrenologist, but there's a name for a stamp collector. I can't remember the fancy name.
A philatelist?
Philatelist or something like that. So philatelist is going through the museum, and they look up at this beautiful picture you've got there, and they're like, good God, man, you've got a original Waldorf on that thing, and it's, yeah, that's worth $5 million.
Yeah, that's an inverted Jenny. What are you doing? Guys, I'll buy that piece. Yeah, I'll buy that piece for that one stamp. Yeah, it's funny. Hey, listen, anybody out there who wants to pay old Rusty here a typical, or like a decent wage, just to make you collage art pieces out of old stamps.
Yeah.
I'll say goodbye. I mean, I do this almost every episode. I'll say goodbye, eBay. I'll stop doing this. If you want to hire me to repair instruments, you want to hire me to buy you items, if there's a collection, actually, this would be a dream job. This is newly formed. Dream job. Somebody who wants to collect high-end art pieces, instruments. I mean, there are people whose entire career is they find instruments for professional musicians.
Yeah.
They're a finder. They're a buyer. So someone comes to you, it's, I don't know.
Jason Isbell says, I want to buy a Strat.
There you go. Jason Isbell. Yeah. Jason Isbell, I want an original, or I want a broadcaster. I want like a 1951, 52, whatever broadcaster, which became the Telecaster. You're looking at, I don't know how many thousands of dollars, many thousands of dollars. But I just be like, okay. And I've searched the world to find something at a right price. And then I just get a fee or for doing that. But I would love that. I would love to be a finder, a buyer for somebody.
Yeah, you've said that on a couple of shows. And
sure.
It's really interesting. We know each other personally as well, professionally. But I think that this is what's so great about what you're doing. I really mean this, truthfully. I'm not pandering here for the podcast. But is that when sometimes you enter into something like this, and we've talked about this a little bit before, you say, oh, I would, if you want me to do X, I will happily do that. A lot of times when we create these side hustles or these side jobs, or maybe they become full jobs like this, they can lead to something else that tickles our fancy more. I started doing this as a lark to do podcasts, and it has turned into a little media company that I never in a million years expected it to be. And every day it's changing, and every day I'm wrestling. It is the most amazing job one could have. So I just don't want the audience to hear like, ah, oh, Matt, that guy's just it's a drudgery, because I don't think you can anticipate necessarily how these things are going to work for it. Some people, we've talked about this, they might become like experts on stamps. They find in their market, there's lots of stamps, and they become, that's where they focus their energy on. We had a wonderful email from one of our listeners talking about they sell a lot of jewelry. And, you know, you might start off saying, I'm just going to be a reseller. Like my brother wants to open a golf shop. An eBay golf shop. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. He might decide that at the end, it's like all he sells is golf balls. I mean, who knows? But my point is, you just don't know what's going to happen based on what comes
yeah.
up.
Sure. I've had many jobs, and my educational background is in counseling. So I got a license. I got a master's degree. I got a license. I was a mental health therapist for many years. Then I got out of that. I jumped into the sort of the tech startup world and worked with a friend, and we grew a small business into a medium-sized business, multiple states. COVID interrupted that. Now I've started the YouTube stuff. I'm doing this. Every one of them, I'm like, is this where I land? Nope. It ends up being just a step.
Right.
To where, I don't know.
Until you found the What Sold podcast, Matt. Until you landed on the What Sold podcast.
Man, every little thing had to happen to get me here. And so that's the thing. It's like you can get stressed out, and I'm certainly had my moments, not knowing if I could do this and make enough out of it. Trying to fight, feeling like a failure. I mean, I've gone from like a professional degree, professional job, sure. to just kind of like in my basement, like selling. So it depends on how you look at it. Some people sometimes I can get down about myself, but then other people will say, "Are you kidding me?" Like. You had this situation, and look what you've done. You've built all this, and you've done that. And that is another way to look at it.
Yes. Don't let Matt fool you. I know you think that, but don't let Matt fool you for one second. You are the king of hustle, and I love that. If nothing ever comes out of this podcast for our listeners, is to understand that if you have creativity, if you have a brain in your head and you want to work hard and you put those things together, you can make an amazing business out of it, which is what you've done. You kind of undersell how successful you are at this, but it's incredible. And I know that a lot of it is, hey, we grind it out. We all do that, whatever business we have.
We do.
But for those of the people that are out there listening to this, do not be discouraged if it's not happening right today.
Yeah.
There's always that thing of saying, did I quit before I was going to be successful? Sometimes you have to, you know, hey, I can get this job, make it pay me a steady salary, and it's all good. But there could be way more over the horizon if you're patient and you work hard.
Definitely. And so I appreciate that. It is, it's a grind, and it's taken me years to get to where I am today. So you're absolutely right. It doesn't start, you don't start at three levels up. You start at the base, and then you work your way up there. And so, and it's like, if it doesn't work or for whatever reason, or you don't like it, you move to something else. That's fine. I've got lots of interests. I'm kind of one of those people who I believe I work hard enough that if I had focused on one thing, I could be excellent at a thing today. The problem was the world is big. There are so many things that fascinate and interest me. And when I get interested in something, I take a relatively short amount of time and I take a deep dive and I learn a lot about it. And so here I am today. I'm one of those jack of all trades, right? I'm not a master really of any of them.
But you wouldn't be doing this if you weren't a jack of all trades. You've named about...
I'm becoming a master at certain things, right? Because, hey, I've got more than 10,000 hours in the last 4 years of focusing on this kind of stuff. So, and that's, I know it's not exactly 10 hours, but you've heard that. If you focus and you spend enough time on anything,
yeah, of course,
you're going to become proficient at that thing. And so it's worth it to me, mainly because I'm making a living. I have found ways to use my creative side in this as well. And that's what makes the day-to-day enjoyable and not just, why am I here? Why am I doing this?
Yeah,
so I think it's cool. I'll segue here to some things. At thrift stores, and most communities have thrift stores. They can be giant conglomerates like Goodwill, all the way down to your small little mom and pop. It's serving, it's maybe connected to some sort of religious affiliation, or maybe it's connected to some sort of local it's a local nonprofit usually. And so the portion of the proceeds go to support your community. I think that's awesome. But the types of things that they get, are there's all kinds of things that get donated to these places. They get taken donations in almost every day. Usually they have a higher volume of stuff that comes in than they can even sell. Like more is coming in faster than they can sell it. I have bought stuff in bulk from thrift stores for this exact reason in the past and done pretty well doing that. I solved the problem for them. I got them some cash in their pocket very quickly. And then I was able to take time and do what I do and make some money as well. So it was a win. But there are certain items that are going to be in a lot of these thrift stores that cost $5 or less. So we'll start with that. The three examples I'm going to use today are shoes, glasses, like sunglasses or eyeglasses, okay, and small toys. So the first one I'm going to show you is something I bought 2 weeks ago in a Goodwill in my town. And I'm going to hold them up right here. You may or may not be familiar with what these are, but they are Jordan, Nike Jordan 1 high tops. They're a size 13, so they're a little bit bigger than the average size foot for men, but certainly a lot of men out there with size 13. Too big for me. If they were my size, I probably would have kept them because I only paid $8 for these. These are over $100, $100, $120, $140 brand new. I can't remember exactly, but these are going to be an easy $40 or $50 sale. And I paid $8. Shoes, and we've talked about this on a previous episode, are a great entry point. I bought and sold a lot of shoes early on. I don't do as much today, but I'm showing you a pair I just bought. So I do still do it. I've not even done any cleaning on these yet. So they're in pretty good condition given the fact that they're used.
Why did you move away from shoes, Matt? Why did you move away from selling them as much?
Just because I found that there were other items I could make more money on.
Yeah,
I started because I didn't have a lot of money to start with. I didn't have a business loan. I just had to start out on nothing. So I'll buy things for $5 that I can make, that I can sell for $25. And after fees, I'm bringing about $17 or $18 a piece. I'll do that because that's where I got to start. Now, I know enough about other items that I can pay $3 to $5 for things and make $30 or $40 off of them. Or I find more expensive items, $20 or $30 items that I can sell for $200, $250. And so it makes more sense. It's the same amount of time, for me to do the work,
oh, okay.
but I stand to gain a larger net profit
yeah.
by using those. So, mm-hmm. but starting off, this is good if you're willing
sure.
to, you know, do a little bit of cleaning on stuff. You can make some good money on Nike shoes particularly, and it's the same with Adidas shoes. There's a little label usually under the tongue or on the inside, with a few exceptions, but on the inside, on the side. And there's this, and there's a number. So for Nike shoes, it's going to tell you the size of the shoe, obviously, and it'll tell you even a date. This is 10/28/15. So these were made in 2015. So they're older. They're used. And then there's a number. This one says 554-724-103. The 103 is kind of the color scheme, typically. That's a number that indicates the color scheme or kind of maybe that. And then the front number is just the model number for this particular shoe.
Uh-huh.
So if I get these shoes and I want to know how much they're worth, I mean, there's tons of Jordan 1s that are white and red. Like, how do you know where to start? You take this number and you don't even actually have to put in Nike a lot of times. I just type into eBay 554-724. It's going to pop up this exact model. And then I go to the sold items. It will show me every one of this model that sold in the last 90 days. Then I get an idea of what the comps are. You can do that while you're looking at this shoe in the store before you buy it. So if it's $10 and you're like, okay, I really need to sell this for 40 or 50, whatever your number is to make it worth it, you do that search. If it hits that number, great. That's a purchase. If not, you set it back. And that's how it works. So at these thrift stores, $5, $8, $10 at the most, but shoes are a low entry point.
Let me ask you a question. Since you've done some sneaker stuff and there's sneaker heads out there, just out of curiosity, how much would a first edition pair in the box, never taken out of the box, never worn, Air Jordans go? I think they came out, what, 84, 83, somewhere in there?
If you have the original box with them and maybe a hang tag and they're in decent condition, meaning there's no like cracking on the top where the flex is or the sole's not detaching, you're looking at a few thousand dollars, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. I've owned two pairs of original Jordan 1s that I bought and sold.
Right.
I think both pairs I paid between $1,000 and $1,500 for. Neither of them had the original box, but I ended up selling both of them for over $2,000. So I made anywhere from $500 to $1,000 profit off of those. That was one of those. I just had some money. I was kind of looking into them and I was searching. And I had like a set up to notify me when new things in that search query pop up. And so once popped up that I could tell by the photos that they were authentic, I could tell by the condition that they were in good condition. And based on the other ones I had been watching sell at different conditions, I could tell this was a good price. So I bought it quickly. I know that if I had waited or if I had just searched later that day, they probably would have already been sold. So I capitalized on my ability to see it and purchase it quickly before my competitors. And that's why I was... But I would love to have a pair that... I mean, I'm not going to walk around with $1,000 shoes on. You know what I mean? So
why? You could. You're rusty.
I am not going to.
Okay.
But it is fun. I think they're cool. Those original Jordans are really cool. I've had a pair of both of the ones that were like this, sort of white and red. And then I had the ones that were primarily black and red as well. High top. So shoes, look for them. If you come across some 19 Jordan high tops for $10, you don't even have to look those up. Just buy them. Get out of there fast. Put them in your trunk. Don't talk to anyone.
Yeah, run, run.
Right.
That's awesome.
Okay, so the next thing are glasses, eyeglasses or sunglasses. I'm going to show you two pairs. These, if you're familiar with the Rusty, the reseller YouTube channel.
Oh, I was going to say, that's all Rusty all the time right there.
These are ones that Rusty wears. These both had been purchased for about $1 a piece at a local thrift store as he was assembling his costume for the YouTube channels. But things like this, first of all, these are not keeping any sun out of your eyes. If anything, it makes things brighter and it's hard to wear them. Okay. But they look, they're these basically aviator style sunglasses that are just yellow frames, or lenses are just yellow. And they make me look really goofy when I do it, which is exactly what I was going for. But if I were to sell these each individually, like vintage aviator yellow lens sunglasses, I could sell these for probably $10 to $14 a piece, maybe more. If I put them as a pair, I'd probably list them for $20, $24. But I paid $1 a piece for them. Most of these thrift stores, they usually have a little wire basket or some sort of little box or a container, and they just dump them in there. Most of the time they're loose. Sometimes there will also be cases that are empty, and sometimes there are glasses in the cases. But every time I go in one of these places, Goodwills, other places, I look for glasses, because you're going to find a few things. Sometimes you find vintage glasses like this, and they can sell because it's a certain style, a certain look. It's funny. Somebody's buying it for a costume. You don't know why they're getting it. Other times, there are really good condition glasses. Mm-hmm. Ones that maybe have brand names, like here's a Prada pair of sunglasses, or here's a Chanel pair of eyeglasses. They're not looking at the brands. They don't care. It's the glasses. Mm-hmm. They look at the chart. It says glasses are $1. You put them in this bin in the back when they're sorting stuff. And so they throw them in there. They go. But I've sold pairs of eyeglasses for $75, $80, $100 before that I paid 50 cents or $1 for because they were a nice brand. The lenses were not scratched on the little part that goes over your whatever the, what do you call that? Somebody said recently, and I can't even remember still what they're called, but the part that goes over your ear that's attached to the, I don't wear glasses. I'm sorry. I don't know.
The handle?
I guess it's the handle. Yeah, whatever you call that goes over the portion that holds it onto your ears. On the inside of that, it often will tell you the information you need, like the size or the prescription, like what the actual prescription is for those glasses. And people will be out there buying these used. Sometimes they're buying them for the frames themselves. So they plan on popping out the lenses and putting their own lenses in, but they just want the frames. That makes sense.
They're called temples, Matt. Temples.
Temples. Perfect. Temples. The temples. I'm so sorry, everyone. Look, there are things I don't know.
Hey, that's what I'm here for, Matt. I'm here
but
to
I know
pick
it
up
now.
The pieces.
I'm gonna. Nice. I know it now. The temples, guys. So there are other times you can find old glasses that are very old, like antique, early 1900s, late 1800s. And sometimes those are gold filled or they can be solid gold, like the actual nose piece, the bridge, the temples can be made out of precious metals. And so a gold filled pair of glasses, I sell those for anywhere between $20 and $30 anytime I get them. So for me, the price is about $8. If I can find them for $8 or less, I buy them because I know I can sell them within a week or two for $20 to $30. If they're more than that, I don't bite because it's just diminishing returns. So, but I just got a pair recently. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was with my buddy Nate, who is Peaches on the YouTube channel.
Right, Peaches.
We were sourcing together. Yeah, we made a video and he found a bin of stuff, like a little container that we were at in the state sale. It was like $15 for everything on it. And it had several things we knew we could make money on, and it has a pair of glasses. I looked at them like, yeah, probably Goldfield glasses. I can sell those for at least $20. We're $5 in profit there before we even sell the other stuff. Let's get it. I came back when I got my loop out and looked. It just said the word Hawks, H-A-W-K-E-S, with no numbers or anything. And I thought, huh, I haven't seen that before. So I was like, these could be solid gold. I scratch test them. Sure enough, 10 karat solid gold. Now, there's not a lot of metal because it was the type that just the nose piece and the temples were metal. So there's nothing around the lenses. So it wasn't a lot of metal, but to find an old pair of spectacles that are solid gold, that's pretty cool. So that $15 purchase where we already made our money back on the other things we sold, that's like $120 to $150 pair of glasses. Mm. You could possibly find a pair like that for $1.
Yeah.
At a thrift store near you because they don't know. They don't care. They're like, it's old. They're scratched. Nobody wants to wear these. Nobody cares. Put them in the bin for $1. But you need to do your research and look at those and carry a loop. I always carry a magnet with me. We need to do a whole episode on maybe one in the next week or two. We'll do an episode on the five or six things you need to have with you at all times when you're outsourcing. But this is one of them, a loop. So you can look at, or like a little magnifying glass, so you can look very closely at things and see. Because jewelry, stuff like this, glasses, you're going to want to see the marks to know what they are.
Sure.
So glasses, eyeglasses, sunglasses, old styles work really well. The 1950s, like 1940s, 1950s, women's glasses, like the horn rim glasses that are very stylized like that. People use those for crafting things. They'll put them on teddy bears. They'll put them on the bookshelf for just an aesthetic piece. And sometimes
hipsters wear them.
Hipsters wear them. Sure. I mean, there's lots of reasons. So you can buy those all the time. Bausch & Lomb is a brand that makes a type of old glasses called safety glasses. And they have a little kind of guard a little bit on the side and they whatever. Those things can sell for $50 to $80 all day long. Let's look up B&L or even just vintage safety glass in eBay and you'll see various sales of those for high amounts of money. And you're going to look at them and you're going to say,
who's buying them?
I don't know. That's a great... Sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't matter why they're buying it. But it would be... That's actually a good question. Some of these times when I sell some of these, I should say, hey, thanks for the purchase. I'm getting the out today. Out of curiosity, why did you buy these? If you don't mind, just what is your intention to do with these? I'm just curious. I sell these. I don't really know why people buy them. Now, I could ask 10 people and get 10 different answers. So there's that.
Right.
But it might be worth asking sometime. I think that could be cool.
Yeah, might be.
Okay, so the last thing I'm talking about is little toys. And what I have here, I'm going to show you, is this wooden bin. And it's full of little cars and little trucks and tractors and things. These are Hot Wheels or Matchbox, or there's various other types of brands of these.
That looks like, that box looks like it was pulled out of my dad's work shed.
Yeah. Oh.
It's like a wooden box.
I guarantee you, a lot of you out there have these in a box, in a closet, in an attic, in a basement. And these were toys that you played with when you were a kid. Maybe you got the ones your dad or your mom played with when they were kids, and they just held on to them. It was fun. They just didn't get rid of them. Or maybe you don't. You go to look for them, and you're like, oh, mom put those. Just last week, mom threw them out in the yard sale, and she sold them for 10 cents a piece. Until about last year, Hot Wheels, brand new Hot Wheels cars, were only about $1 a piece. It was like 99 cents or something like that. Now they've upped it to $1.50.
What?
So it's like they made a huge jump. I mean, it's still $1.50. It's not a lot of money, but it's a lot as far as a jump in price. But used, if they're not like just terrible condition, even newer ones like this, which this has like a number on it. Sometimes ones that have numbers, this little car, a little blue car, sometimes the numbers are for specific racers. Like it's a race car. It's made to look like an actual person on the NASCAR circuit or whatever. Those can sell, like a person's collecting stuff from their favorite racer. That's a reason. But also, they just buy them for toys for kids. Like, they just, you can sell them individually. You can sell them in lots. I mean, I see those all the time. Bags of them or boxes of them. They're like $10 or $20 for these cars. I see them at Goodwill all the time. Bags, huge things of Barbie dolls and clothing. That's another thing. But you, even if you're buying them for 10, 15, 20 cents, you can sell that for $1.50. Now, that's not a lot of money for one car. This is a volume game. Mm-hmm. So if I buy this whole thing and I search through it and I find five or six that are worth $5 or $10 a piece, awesome. I paid $10. Just six or seven cars are going to get me my money back. I've already doubled my money. And then the rest you can sell off in lots of 10 or 15 cars a piece for $10. So sometimes you can sell these for, like, they're brand new in a package at Walmart for $1.50. And this one is not in the package. Sometimes you can still sell it for $1, $1.50 because it's a particular one that's harder to find or it's rare. They also have certain ones that are called, what do they call it? It's like a hunt or something like a. They have specific cars on each run that they put a particular emblem on or a particular sticker or something. And they are like special. There aren't very many of them out there. And so people, when they put out all the new Hot Wheels cars, they go in and they're searching through all of these trying to find the special one. So you might have one of those in one of these bins, and the people who are putting this up for sale, I'm sure, don't know, like at thrift stores and things, but they're cheap. The point is, you can get them cheap. Other things that you can get for cheap at thrift stores that I don't have to show you, but neckties, men's neckties, dollar or less, usually, at like a Goodwill, it's like $1. Sometimes little purses or little baggies, belts. Sometimes belts will be like really nice leather, or they'll be a nice brand, or maybe it has a belt buckle on it that is made of sterling silver.
Yeah.
And they just didn't even notice it. And these are all things that, even little wicker baskets. Have you ever been to a thrift store and there's just like a bunch of baskets?
Oh, yeah.
I just bought a couple recently for my kids because it was Easter to use. But certain wicker baskets, they're like $1 or $2. And sometimes you can sell those for $40 or $50 a piece.
Yeah.
It's a basket. It's just like a wicker basket. There is, I would say, 10 to 20 categories of items that you could buy all day, every day for $3 in a lot of cases or less per item. And you stand to sell them for $10 to $20 a piece. That's a really good entry point. In fact, I have a video I did a couple of years ago on this. I should probably do another one because, especially people who want to do it for a hobby that aren't expecting to find, that's great, Rusty, but I'm not going to go out and find a solid gold bracelet. And you know what? You might not. And it's not because they aren't around. It's just maybe you don't have the experience. You don't know how to look. Mm-hmm. But you know what a Hot Wheel car looks like. You know what a Matchbox. You'll see those. Or you know what the neckties are all hanging here. You just look around the back and there's a little label on the inside. And it says Brooks Brothers. Or if it says one of these really higher end things, like you're going to pay $1 for that. And somebody's going to pay you $20 on eBay because of the brand. If it's in good condition, not stained or not torn. You do have to inspect things. But there are a variety of things out there that you can get into very easily. And it's even easy for, I mean, kids. Some of these, my kids, other family, friends come, kids see all the stuff. It's like I have a toy store, essentially, in my basement. Things come and go all the time, and they're like, oh, this is cool. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine's really into Thomas the Train cars. That's another thing. You can find a little Thomas the Train thing. If you find it in with a bin of Hot Wheels, congrats. Like, you probably found a 8 or 10, maybe more, dollar little car. If it's not terribly destroyed by use, pay a dollar for that. You sell it for $10. Now, you have to have a higher volume of those types of sales to actually accumulate decent amount of money. But the point I'm trying to make is that even at a very base level, you can make money and you don't have to have a lot of know-how. I would say maybe just stick with one thing. If you're like, ooh, neckties, like that's probably something. I like these things because these are things people pass over. People go to these thrift stores to find some ceramic or some thing, or like mugs, or they want to go get electronic equipment, or they want to get clothing. Most people are just walking right past the glasses, someone else's old glasses. I don't care about that. Neckties, if I'm going to get a necktie, I'm going to go buy it new at a store. Most people don't think about those places. I get all my tubs that I store my stuff in at thrift stores. I'm not going to go pay $14 or $15 at Lowe's for a tub, because I'm going to find one tomorrow for $4 at a thrift store. And I'm going to use that. You could buy and sell tubs. You know, who knows? There's all kinds of things you can do out there. But you don't have to spend lots of money, I guess is my point. And I'm not doing anything magic. It's not like I live in the best place in the country to source. I certainly don't. But you can find these things almost anywhere.
Yeah, you named about 15 topics that we need to do shows on, because I was like, wait, what about this and what about that? I'm thinking of all the questions. So
exactly.
I'm going to end the show with that right there. So if you're listening and you have specific questions about certain things like neckties, who do I sell neckties to or whatever, email us, ask us those questions. We would love to go over them on the air. And even if we don't know, we'll either make up something.
That's right.
Or we'll do some research. Most likely it will be the research. But we would like to thank you, Matt, number one, for doing this. Number two is, remember to follow, like, subscribe, all those cool things. Tell a friend about us, especially if you know somebody that's also a secondary market merchant, just like Matt. You know, let us know if you have any questions. We will happy to answer. Be looking for that Facebook link that's going to be on there to show you what these different pictures that we talked about today are. But otherwise, we will be back with a brand new show next week. We're so happy that you guys are with us. Matt, any last words?
No, just I like that. If there's a whole show you want us to cover a particular topic or a particular category, let us know. We're happy to do that.
Absolutely. All right, everybody have a great week. Talk soon.